Romans chapter 8, verse 26, will stand for the reading of the Word of God. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Father, we love you. We're thankful for this privilege to be together this morning and worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the Word of God, how the Word of God sustains us and strengthens us and builds our faith and confidence in you. Bless the saints this morning through your Word. Speak to our hearts, all of those who are here and those who are listening by Mixler. Pray, God, that your Spirit would minister to them as well. We give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach this morning for a few minutes on a divinely purposed life. My text contains truths that have, through the years, brought great comfort to the hearts of God's people. In this text, we are sure that life is not haphazard and that we are not left alone to deal with the challenges of life. There's a pattern, a divinely ordered pattern that is being worked out in the life of every believer. And from this text, I'm going to work backwards in this text, and I want to demonstrate, first of all, the divine purpose that, as we see in verse 28 of my text, to them who are called according to his purpose. And then I want to talk to you about the divine providence, that we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called according to God's purpose. And thirdly, I want to talk to you about the divine pleading. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. First of all, I want you to see the divine purpose in this passage of Scripture. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that purpose is spelled out in the next verse, in verse 29, where he says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is the purpose of God right here, that God has ordained that we be conformed to the image of his Son. And the Bible tells us that whom he did foreknow, God has foreknowledge. This, I believe that God knows all things, that there's nothing hidden from God, that as deity, the future is just as clear to him as the past, and that God knows all things. And whom he did foreknow speaks of those people who would accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we read in the parables that Jesus told about a man who found a treasure in a field. The Bible says when he found that treasure, he hid that treasure, and he went and sold everything he had and bought that field. He bought that field because he was interested in the treasure in that field. One of the parables in that same chapter in Matthew chapter 13 tells us that the field is the world. And what we're seeing there is Jesus looking ahead and seeing the church of Jesus Christ, which was a mystery. It was a hidden truth, the church of Jesus Christ. But God saw that church, and it was a treasure. And so in order to get that treasure, the Lord bought the whole field. Jesus went to the cross and paid the debt, sin debt, for every man, woman, boy, and girl that ever had lived or ever would live. Jesus bought the whole field. But he knew that not everybody was going to receive the gospel of Jesus and be saved, but there was a group of people that would avail themselves of the sacrifice that Jesus made. They were the treasure in that field, and Jesus bought the whole field for the treasure in that field. That's the ones that he did foreknow, and whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Not that Jesus predestinated people to salvation or to damnation, but he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. All of those that he foreknew who would participate in the sacrifice of the Son of God, he predestinated that all of those people be conformed to the image of the Son of God. This is the divine purpose right here, is that all of those people, that treasure in the field, all of them be conformed to the image of the Son of God. The Son of God became the Son of Man to model for us the perfect man. Man as God originally intended for man to be. We see Jesus, who is the perfect man. It is that pattern. It is the pattern of Jesus that the Spirit of God uses in the lives of all believers. There's a family relationship. When we get saved, born again of the Spirit of God, we become members of the family of God. And there is a family likeness in this family relationship. It is said that God's purpose is that we would all be conformed to the image of God's Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So that when we could become part of the family of God, there is a spiritual resemblance among all of those people that belong to Jesus. We resemble our Savior, our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This process is given to us in verse 30, whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And when it says whom he did predestinate, John Wesley has a remark about that and says that those who believe are predestined to life, and those who believe not are predestined to perish. So the predestination here pertains to those whom God knew would choose to believe on him. And those people he called, those that he foreknew, he called them. So they were invited by the preaching of the gospel to believe on Jesus Christ. And the writer is making this point that all of those that believe first receive a call through the gospel. But now this call goes out to more than just the predestined. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14, many are called, but few are chosen. The ones that are chosen are those who hear that call and respond to that call. They are the chosen. So the invitation is to whosoever will, but the salvation is only to those who believe the gospel message. And whom he called, he also justified. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified means being cleared of any blame or guilt. As one man explained, it is just as if I'd never sinned. Those are the justified. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. And this glorification includes sanctification as an experience and a process in our life. Glorification includes moral excellence. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, that is in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. All of us being changed into the same image that we're looking at in that mirror. And that mirror is demonstrating to us the image of Jesus Christ. We're being changed into that same image from glory to glory. You see, there's a glory being worked in our lives as we're being changed into that image from one level of glory to another level of glory to another level of glory, from glory unto glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This process is an increasing likeness to the moral nature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The process of glorification climaxes at the coming of the Lord. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Hallelujah. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." This is the ultimate purpose to which we are called. God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but he hath called us unto holiness, and holiness is Christlikeness. Then I want to talk to you about the divine providence. In verse 28, he says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." According to this verse, God is working through all of our life experiences to accomplish his purpose in us. All things that happen to us is not good. COVID is not good. I'm telling you, it is not good. I mean, even though I had a mild case, I don't want to go back through it. It is not good. All things that happen to us is not good. Later in verse 35 of this same chapter, he enumerates a few of the bad things that Christians have and do experience. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" So, obviously, God's people through the centuries have gone through these very kinds of things. But the experience of things as bad as these is no sign that we are loved less by God. Y'all understand this? This is what he said. "What can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall these things separate us from the love of Christ?" Does this mean that God does not love us? No, but it does mean that there's a divine plan being implemented through all of those bad things that happen in our life. Now, the promise is not to all people, but to those who love God. The evidence of their love for God is their obedience to his commands. This promise does not apply to people who do not love God and who do not obey God. We can't say to a lost person that this scripture applies to them. It doesn't. But it does apply to those people who love God. And so all of us here who are saved this morning, who love the Lord, this promise is unto you. Y'all remember Paul experiencing great sufferings in his Christian life, but he refused to be depressed by those sufferings. He knew the secret. This is Paul that's writing this passage. He knew the secret of Romans 8:28, and he declared in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." So even though all things that happen to us is not good, God weaves all the bad things together with the good to bring about his purpose in our life. Spurgeon told a story of a Protestant preacher being arrested during the reign of Queen Mary in England. He was arrested for preaching the gospel. He was condemned to be burned at the stake. And he expressed his faith. He said, "Never mind, all things work together for good." The captors couldn't understand that. They said, how is this going to work for your good? He said, "I don't know, but I know that it will." So on the way to London, where the sentence was to be carried out, the guards treated the man so roughly that they broke his leg. And they mocked him and they said, "How is this going to work out for your good?" And again, the preacher said, "I don't know, but I do know that God will use it to bring about good." The accident caused them to have a one-day delay while they fixed the man's leg. They finally got his leg splintered so he could continue on the journey. But when they arrived in London, they found out that Queen Mary had died the day before, and now Queen Elizabeth, the Protestant queen, was on the throne, and the preacher was pardoned. It all worked out for God's glory and his good. The good being produced by divine providence, listen, it doesn't always correspond to our ideas of what is good. When Paul says that all things work together for good, he's not referring merely to material blessings, but to spiritual blessings. And in particular, the good that he's referring to is an increasing correspondence between our character and that of Jesus Christ. This is what everybody who loves God aspires to. They want to be like Jesus. And so this is the chief ambition of all of those who are called according to the purpose of God. Now, I want to talk to you about the divine pleading. Verses 26 and 27 tells us, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." According to Paul here, the Spirit is aiding in the accomplishment of God's purpose in our life. He helpeth our infirmities, that is, our weaknesses, the weaknesses in our character. The Spirit of God is helping our infirmities, those weaknesses, that the tendencies to procrastinate in our spiritual exercises, such as prayer and the reading of the Word of God. The tendency to be easily offended. The tendencies to entertain doubts when our prayers are not immediately answered. Or the tendency to despise people whose sins are notorious and shameful. We all have tendencies in our life. The Spirit of God's working on the infirmities, the weaknesses of our life. And in a word, the Spirit is correcting in us those flaws that contradict the character of Jesus Christ. And one way that the Spirit helps us is by creating in us a deep yearning to be victorious over those infirmities that fall short of the character of Christ. The Spirit of God immediately makes his presence known in the believer. The Bible tells us that when a person gets saved, the Spirit of God comes into their heart crying, "Abba, Father." Focuses our mind on our Heavenly Father. Galatians 4 and 6 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And he makes intercessions, according to my text, he makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That is, which cannot be expressed in words. He creates a passion in us to be Christ-like. He creates a passion in us so strong that words cannot express it. This passion is so great that we are able to patiently endure trials, great trials, knowing that the Spirit of God is perfecting us, bringing us to full maturity, reproducing in us the character of Jesus Christ. He's making intercession for us, for the saints of God, according to the will of God. You understand that? The will of God is for you to be like Jesus. The Spirit of God's making intercession for you according to the will of God. You know, the truths in this passage are difficult for most people to believe. We cannot see the good in our problems. Sometimes we're perplexed as to how God's going to bring good out of what's going on in our horrible circumstances. But when we choose to believe the Word of God, our whole world's rearranged when we choose to believe what God has said. As Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. I'm telling you, brother, there's a process going on. The Spirit of God's helping our infirmities, and God is a weaving together the good with the bad so that it brings glory to Him and causes us to be more like our Savior Jesus Christ. Joni Tada Erickson is probably a name that some of you know here. She suffered a debilitating accident 50 years ago when she was just a teenager. She dove into shallow water and broke her neck, and she became a quadriplegic, paralyzed from her neck down. The accident plunged her into deep depression, but her faith in God reoriented her priorities in life. She said before her accident that she had confused the Christian life with the American dream. So she envisioned marrying a guy making $250,000 a year. She would have 2.5 children. However how you do that. And her life, she says, was me-focused. What could God do for me? And she did an interview before Patrick Henry College. And she confessed in that interview, she said, had I not broken my neck, I'd probably be on my second divorce, maxing out my husband's credit cards, planning my next ski vacation. I wouldn't be here extolling the glories of the gospel and the power of God to help a person smile, not in spite of their problems, but because of them. And when we get the right perspective on the Christian life, it turns our pain into praise. And the devil is astonished when he runs into people that their afflictions don't turn them against God. But they do like Job and fall down before God and say, the Lord gave and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. The devil's astonished when you've taken a beating and you come to church rejoicing that you're counted worthy to suffer affliction for the cause of Christ. I'm telling you, brother, if everybody in this church would take the promise of God in Romans 8:28 to heart, the demons of hell would be astonished at what would go on in this church. That no matter what kind of problems that he brings into our life, there's a smile on our face and joy in our hearts and worship for God that we know loves us even when we're suffering, when our bodies are in pain, when things are going south in our life. But we know there's a plan and a purpose being worked out in our life, and we trust God. We know His promises are true, and we know that when we get through this, the devil is going to have a stronger adversary than he ever had before. And God is going to make us more like Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hey, let's handle our troubles like this. Let's let the Spirit of God work on us. Let's let the Spirit of God help us to become more like Jesus. Don't drop our heads. Raise our heads. Praise Him here through the pain. Praise Him through the troubles. Praise Him and worship Him through all the bad things that come, because we know the promise of God is true. And God is working out a plan and a promise in our life. I believe, brother, that the Martinsville Church of Truth can put the devil on the run if we'll just keep on praising God through all of our troubles. Hallelujah. The devils will find out that the sufferings hasn't worked for them. It only made their problems worse. And the people are becoming a greater adversary to hell than they ever were before. Hallelujah. They're praying more. They're seeking God. They're worshiping God. They got their minds set on pleasing God. And this is what God's doing, y'all, right now in our hearts and lives and in our church. He's using our troubles to make us more like Jesus. You believe the promise of God? Romans 8:28. Y'all, don't ever forget it. For we know. Do we know this? For we know. We know that all things, not just some things, not a few things, not just the good things. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let's stand together. Father, we love You. Oh God, we have felt Your love. We know, Lord, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our precious people are out there listening on Mixler right now, suffering in their bodies. I pray, God, that they'd feel that divine love of God. Oh, Jesus, help us to keep on praising You. Oh, God, help us to keep on worshiping You. Help us to keep on believing God in the midst of our troubles, Lord. We know You're doing a work on us. You've got a purpose for our life. You've got a plan for us, Jesus. I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to take the promises of God and stand on those promises. The winds may blow and storms may come, but we know, Lord Jesus, that we're on a solid foundation when we're standing on Your promises. I pray that You'd encourage every heart here this morning. Encourage all of those who are listening by Mixler. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to believe that though weeping may endure for the night, joy is coming in the morning. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to hold fast to Your promises. When it seems like that there's no reason to hope, help us to keep on hoping, because we are leaning on the Lord, trusting in the promises of God. We give You the praise and honor for Your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming this morning. God bless you. We'll be back tonight, 6:30 for service. 6 o'clock for prayer.